Where did we stop last time?
We stopped, I think we're going to pick up with 2161.
I write a note.
2161.
Right.
Okay.
We did talk about it.
Yeah, I have stuck on the line.
It's the next two.
It's the next one,
Two one six two.
2162?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's
right.
Why I got asked.
All right. Okay, does anybody have any good thing to want to bring up before we get started? Anything we've covered so far? Okay. 2162. Teresa says the one thing we should do is find as companions those who talk about the castle, speak about this castle, and to draw near to those who seem to be in the rooms where he is and those in the rooms closer to the center. By conversing with them and through their converse, they will bring him to where they are. Notice what Teresa is saying here. She's not saying these others will leave their path and progress to their path and progress to come find you. Rather, they invite you to join them on this journey. They do not impede their own progress, but invite you to either the next dwelling places with them, and they to invite you to enter. I said ether. It should be enter. Enter the next dwelling places with them, and they teach you enough to encourage you to join them. So it's like having a good friend that you can talk about stuff with, that they're experiencing the same thing, and they want to help you go along.
Besides you people.
It's just us. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And so the good thing is we have the internet today. She didn't have that back then. So if you have questions and stuff, you know, you can talk, and you don't have to be in the same place all the time.
That's true. You could go on YouTube and look up, Interior Castle and see what people have said about it.
Yeah, sure. There's all kind of things we can do, you know. So the devil, conversely, when he sees the soul with a strong determination to refuse anything the devil offers, rather than return to the first rooms, he will abandon that soul much more quickly. Whereas he doesn't like resistance. He wants to try to trick you, but he doesn't like a fight. Again, perseverance and determination are strong companions for the soul. In this fight against the devil, Teresa says there are no better weapons than the cross. Besides the cross, what other weapons do we have at our disposal to fight the devil and continue to advance toward union with God?
Well, we've got Mass, Communion, the sacraments, Divine Mercy, Rosary, make the sign of the cross.
Right. You soak, all those kind of things.
And the Blessed Mother, she crushed the head of Satan.
That's right.
She's powerful.
Right.
St. Michael.
Right. So all the saints, Blessed Mother, all those kind of things. We've got all kind of weapons we have at our disposal. A lot of things that Teresa did not have much of. One of the things we have a lot of that she didn't really have, because books were not that new at her time, you know, for the printing press and all. But look at all the writings of the saints, all the church fathers, all those kind of things. You know, she had access to some of it, but there's a lot of it she didn't have access to, just because of the times in which she lived. So those are the kind of things that that we can do.
And so, to deal with all the stuff like the first time, like, you know, you could look up and find out, you know, Dark Night of the Soul and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And I read the name of Jesus is very powerful. Just to say that, he flees.
Yeah.
And another one was Praise Be Jesus Christ. They said he flees with that one.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people say Praise Be Jesus Christ now and forever before they start anything else. You know, like we see that at Mass on Sunday.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do that. So all those kind of things are a good habits to get into. And the idea is to make them a habit, to make them a habit in your daily life so that you're always relying on them. And have good spiritual reading. Have that available to you and rely on the writings of the saints and everything else. It's really good. Okay. 2171. Teresa says that in the second dwelling place, the soul should not be thinking about consolations. The focus should be on God and His commandments, not on the gifts you would like from Him. So what is she saying right there in that first couple of sentences?
You should be seeking God.
Yeah, should be, you know, what should I be doing to get closer to God, and not worrying about what kind of gifts he's going to give me?
Right.
You know, I got to change my life before he starts doing a lot of other stuff. I got to show him I'm worthy of his gifts. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Finding a way to please him.
Yeah, exactly. If the soul is preoccupied with consolations, they will never finish being dissatisfied and tempted, because whatever you get, you always want more, right?
Yeah.
And that's the theme that she talked about last time, too. These are not the dwelling places where it rains manna. Those lie further ahead, where a soul finds in the manna every taste it desires, for it wants only what God wants. So she's saying later on, after you've proved yourself, and you've gone through all the changes you have to go through to seek God for himself only, then he begins to give you the manna and the other things that that you need. And by manna, she means all the different, you know, things that he's going to give us in our spiritual journey. Her advice is to embrace the cross he sends the soul. If he should grant the soul other favors, thank him for what he has freely added on, for we have not done anything yet to merit this grace. In this second dwelling place, what should the soul's principal focus be, and how should it act in relation to that objective?
We said it already, to seek God, to please God first. Yeah.
The principal focus is always on God.
Right.
Well, you have two focuses. One is on God first, obviously. Right. The other is to try to separate yourself from the occasions of sin.
Right.
Because she said, you know, back in the first one, that we're still dealing with these occasions of sin, and sometimes we fall, got to go to the sacraments, got to go to confession and all like this. So we're still advancing in that vein. We're still finding occasions of sin, but we're still trying to avoid them as much as we possibly can. So we're trying to grow closer to God by getting away from the things that draw us into sin. So we know what those occasions are because we've experienced them before. So we try to not tempt ourselves. You know, you don't play with occasions of sin.
No.
You don't say, I'm just going to touch you, but I'm not going to embrace you. That doesn't work. You know, you just get away from it altogether and just leave it. And so focusing only on God. And we do that, you know, in a number of different ways. Rosary, Blessed Mother, the help of the saints, all kind of things. But you want yourself to belong to God alone. And that's the important thing. I mean, he's the creator of your soul. You're going to lose your body at some point, and all you're going to have left is your soul, so protect it.
That's what we need to get to heaven.
Yeah. So our biggest obligation we have to ourselves is our salvation. And so, with that in mind, we have to protect our soul, because that's it. You know, if you don't protect your soul, you lose everything. That's why Jesus says in the gospel, "What good does it do to gain the whole world if you lose your soul?" You know. So that's the important thing. And then 2181, Teresa says, "God knows best what is suitable for us. There's no need for us to advise him about what he should give us, because he can rightly tell us we don't know what we are asking for."
How often?
Yeah. I mean, how many people try to tell God what to do for him? You know?
And then he laughs.
Yeah, he just laughs, you know? Yeah.
Or, you know, it's funny too, like, if you pray for a special intention, not praying for people, but if you pray and you're asking God for something, I mean, common sense, how do you know it's the right thing for you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let God be God, and he'll just say, if the easiest thing is to say, I want to do your will, and whatever comes, you allowed it.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're young, you're praying for this, you're praying for that, good job, good husband, you know, maybe it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's like you tell God.
But, you know, I was always taught that, you know, the angels want to hear your prayer before Mass, and they're bringing them up in a bowl.
Right.
And I'm like, so you're still going to have things you're asking for, you know, your health of your children
prayer petition. There's nothing wrong with prayer petition.
Maybe a nice trip somewhere with your spouse.
Prayer petition, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, in the Jewish tradition, the incense that would be burnt in the temple the way they had it, the incense constructed, it would go straight up in this column. It wouldn't just disperse all over the place. It's part of the way they made it. But and for them, the symbology is that the incense is carrying the prayers of the people up to God, going up. It's kind of neat, you know? And so that's the whole spirituality behind the incense thing. But there's nothing, I mean, Jesus tells us in the Our Father, you know, they ask God for things. But again, there's an old joke that says if you want to give God a good life, a good laugh, tell him what your plans are for your life.
Right.
So don't you think, I mean, the things that I pray for are that my children and grandchildren and whatever will stay in God's grace, you know, and good health. And those are, you don't pray for a bigger house
I mean, I'm not supposed to pray to win the lottery. You know, I'm not supposed to pray to win the lottery?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, we pray for our family and our friends, especially friends that are, you know, have poor health or whatever. You pray for them. And you don't, like you said, don't look at a bigger house or I got more house now than I need.
Yeah.
But just, you know.
I mean, you might pray that your roof not fall in or a tree fall off your
house. Yeah, to keep you and your home safe. Yeah. But
it's amazing how God will answer, our Blessed Mother will answer your prayers, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to Medjugorje, and there was this priest that wanted to come with me. And he didn't have the money for the trip. And so I prayed to the Blessed Mother. I said, hey, Father Collins wants to come. What can I do to help him come, you know? Right away, I get this consulting job with Citibank in New York. I needed $2,500 for him and $2,500 for me. So I got a job at Citibank consulting for them for a week. $1,000 a day, so I got $5,000.
There you go.
Said, okay, where's my ticket to Medjugorje, you know? It's just amazing how she works.
My husband worked at Citibank. I went to, what year, do you remember what year were you there? I don't remember.
Yeah, I went there in 1995. I stayed in the Twin Towers.
He might have been there, yeah. Oh, no, I'm out. God forgive me. He's retired. He was retired for 20 years when we moved down here.
Okay.
But I left when I heard Citibank, because,
It was funny.
You made me think about when I was after college, I prayed to St. Jude, and it's the prayer that, you know, he answers, and then you got to publish in the paper, like the Penny Saver. Uh-huh. And I was, like, pretty arrogant, and I made this long list of what I wanted for the summer. And I said a job that was in my field that I was going to graduate school, so I wanted it in this field. Then I said it had to be, like, $8. I mean, you're talking long time ago.
Yeah.
$8 an hour or $10 an hour. I go, it just needs to be a summer job, nothing more, so they understand I'm going back to school. And I go, it has to be in the city because I had to ride with my sister because I don't have a car, and I was living with her for the summer. I mean, I made this long list, and I got it. And I published it in the Hamburg Penny Saver after it, every single thing. Yeah. Sister dropped me off every morning. Mm. It was this study where I just read these files about juvenile delinquents and wrote it up. It was like,
it falls into place.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. Thank you, God. That was a little demanding.
So that was it was interesting, you know, those kind of things.
And he did.
But the principal focus of our life has to be on God.
Yeah.
And you always have to put him first. Always have to put God first in your life.
No exceptions.
No matter what else. And Jesus even tells us in the Gospels, you know, if you put anything ahead of me, you're not worthy of me.
No.
Well, what does that mean to put God first, though? I always wonder, like, when you're doing something, is, you know, I don't know, how are you not putting him first?
We just do it automatically now. Because we're in school.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I don't.
Well, for example, on Sunday, you get up on Sunday and you got a choice of going to a party, taking your kid to a soccer game, going fishing, or going to mass. What are you going to do? You go to mass, right? I mean,
okay. I guess I was thinking something else. Like, you know, you say a prayer to him every morning, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
start your day off with prayer, for one thing. Putting God first means the first thing I do when I get up is I pray.
Because I sometimes
I pray still in bed.
Yeah, something, you have to do that too, yeah.
I'm trying to get in that habit. I mean, I do my the brown scapular prayer, but now I do that fiat to the Father. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, some mornings, you know, it's a couple hours before I think about them, and then I feel like,
then you do it, yeah.
I'm like, shoot.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, chores or something.
Right. And sometimes it helps to make a list until you do get into the habit. Mm. You say, this is my list. When you put it right next to your bed, mm-hmm. and you wake up and you look at it, and the first thing it says, pray. Say hello to God. Mm-hmm. Say, good morning, God. I hope I am faithful to you all this day. Please watch over and protect me this day and keep me close to you. Bingo.
Mm. You know? I think I'm sucked into the phone generation, where the first thing I do is I go get the phone and see what's going on with my family.
Right.
And I'm like, and then you get sucked into the phone for about an hour.
Put the fiat prayer thing on top of your phone.
There you go.
So that you see that before you see your phone. But it's important, you know, to put him first, to start your day off recognizing him. Because Jesus tells us, without me, you can do nothing, right?
Right.
He says, with God, all things are possible, and without me, you can do nothing. Two things he told us in John 15. And that you keep those two things in mind, then whatever you want to do that day, you can't do it without him.
Right.
Right? So you get that.
Things still don't go very well sometimes.
It's almost like a brand.
Yeah.
Like you're a head of cattle or something, and somebody's got this brand, and they come over and they put right on your forehead, they put this thing, you know, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
But all things are possible through me. And you get it finally embedded in your brain, and you just live that way.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do that day, whatever it is, just say, please help me get it done right.
Yeah, start off the day.
It doesn't have to be long prayers. No. In fact, he would rather have you say a lot of little short prayers frequently during the day than one long prayer at the beginning and then forget about him the rest of the day.
Yeah.
He wants you to have him in mind all the time.
Yeah. I tried to say that one that Father Blount said, precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world.
Yeah. Just some little ejaculation. You know? If you look at the Pieter prayer book, it's full of them.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, Mary, I love you. Save souls. Bingo. You know, there are all kinds of little things you can do throughout the whole day just to bring God back to your mind and make sure that you haven't forgotten him, because you don't want him to forget you, right?
Right.
And that's the important thing. You don't have to go into these long, drawn-out prayers that take 3 hours to say. Just a little short thing. Say it often during the whole day. Just keep your mind on God. Because you want him to help you do everything that needs to be done. And you want to keep the devil away from you. And he's the best way to do that. You know, you say the name Jesus and he runs. So that's a good thing to do.
You know, you said the devil doesn't like resistance. But I keep going back to that in the Bible where Jesus said to the apostles, the devil has insisted, he sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you.
He wants to do that, yeah.
So he does keep that.
He's persistent. But you have free will.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't interfere with that. So the only thing he can do is try to suggest to you something that you shouldn't do. But you have the chance, have to say no to that suggestion. So he can't make you do anything.
No, but he...
But he can entice you.
He was insistent with priests mostly.
Yeah.
And the apostles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's always going to tempt you. And so you have to recognize what he's tempting you to do and how that takes you away from God.
Yeah.
It's going to make it sound really good. And so you just have to start learning how to think with your soul instead of with your body.
Yeah.
He's going to make something very attractive. Man, if you do this, if you skip Mass this morning, I'm going to bring you a realtor that's going to get you a beautiful house.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's kind of a stupid example.
Yeah.
But, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
He would try to divert you from a good to entice you into something that appears good, but it's probably not.
Right.
And so you just got to be sensitive to those kind of things that he's going to do.
Or you could go to a later Mass and stay longer, and then you don't go.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, putting things off You know, like the devil, one of the tricks of the devil that he uses all the time on people is you always have more time.
Yeah.
You don't have to do everything right now because you can always do it later.
Right.
Skip Mass today. You can always go to confession, you know, next week and go to Mass the next day. Always put things off. And you don't always have time. You could die an hour from now while crossing the street.
In one of the books I read, one saint said, Philip Neri, live each day as if it was your last day on earth. Not with a morose feeling like, oh, right, I'm going to die. But how would you live your last day on earth? Just, yeah, you know.
Depends on how well you know yourself.
Yeah.
You know, some people would say, I want to get as much out of it as I can, so I'm going to go and do everything I want to do. Other people are going to say, I want to get as close to God as I can if I only got one day left.
Yeah. It just came to mind. It popped in. The saint said, I'll do exactly what I'm doing now.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Because he was in the right place, you know.
Yeah, if you're in the right place, you keep on doing it right.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
She's destroy everything in your house you don't want your heirs to see.
Right.
What did she say?
My friend, the Dominican, was in the con with me. She stayed in and taught kindergarten her whole life, Genevieve Marie. And she says, I keep my, because they live in a regular place now, you know. And she says, I keep it immaculate. She says, the family comes, it's got to be perfect. They're so human like us.
Okay, 2181. Teresa says, God knows best what is suitable for us. Of course he does.
Yeah.
There is no need for us to advise him. We already did that?
We did, yeah. We're on 219.
Okay, we're on 219. I thought it sounded familiar.
It's at the end of it. What things can a soul do to bring its will?
What things can a soul do to bring the will to conformity with God's will? That's a good question. I'm glad I thought of that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. What things can the soul do to bring its will into conformity with God? The two faculties of the soul are what? The intellect and will. Okay. So the will is how we love God. Because love is an act of the will. It's not an emotion. And so one of the things that the soul can do to bring its will in conformity with God's will is to learn to love God more. What else can we do with the will?
And to say it. If you say something, it's not that you're playing a trick on your mind, but if you start the day and say, yes, I want to do your will today, you'll be more inclined to do it than if you didn't say it. Your will affects your thoughts.
Well, you also ask God to help you conform your will to His will, to His.
Yeah.
So help me do what you want me to do today.
Yeah.
You know, don't pay attention to what I want to do. Whatever you want me to do, help me do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can fold that idea right into your morning prayer. Whatever I do today, please let it be in conformity with your will. Mm. And it goes back to what De Quisade told us, if you remember, that the sacramentality of the present moment, you know. The idea that whatever God presents to you to deal with is what He wants you to deal with. Right. And so it's a gift of God, so you do it.
Eleanor, our ear issues.
I can't hear, I'm sorry. What?
That's what it was, our ear issues.
Right, when you go, you live with a lot of stuff.
Well, how do you know it's all from God, though? I mean...
because you trust in God. That's the other thing.
I mean, I guess it all is. I was going to say, like a house issue, like your roof.
Yeah. So whatever God sends to you, that's His will, and so you just deal with it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people complain about the crosses that God sends us. You know, in the when Jesus got His cross, it says Jesus embraces the cross.
Right.
And so He wants us to do the same thing. Because our cross is one of the things that help us grow in holiness and get closer to Him. And that's something we have to really pay attention to.
When I answer that, I always go back to the same thing. Don't think that you know best. You know, yeah. You have to be willing to give up that idea that you know what God wants for you.
Yeah.
Be malleable. You need to be open.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, God is always going to want what I want, right? That's how people think. You know, people think that.
And I think when you, you know, as time goes by, you look back and say, boy, if I've gotten that thing I wanted or that move to this other area, that might have not been a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I always say God has a sense of humor because so much that has happened to me in my life, I never would have picked. And I can honestly say it. I never wanted to marry a non-Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
No, never. Yeah. You grow up with the nuns, and I just didn't want to. And then I never wanted to live in Long Island. And I laugh because I say, it's always opposite what I want. Never wanted to live in Long Island.
Yeah.
And there was...
You picked that random place in the whole country? I don't want to live in that one spot.
So much, you know?
Yeah.
So much. I want to be a nun. And I came out, and I was a private secretary. And it was like nothing I really wanted.
Yeah.
And I laugh. I go,
I thought you
and then
wanted.
I said, I know it's your will.
Yeah.
It was what you thought.
I think about, I wanted to move back near my family. You know, I have a big family. We do a lot of events. And my husband's from the same town. I thought, oh, yeah, we're going to end up there. But he's, in the Air Force, and we were in California and Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, and I miss all that stuff. It was nice out there. And, you know, even now, I'm 8 hours away. But I think if I lived there, I don't think my faith would be what it is. Mm-hmm. Because it's the church is just...
California's
falling. It's falling.
Yeah.
It's not there.
It's sad.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have family members looking for me to give them stuff from, you know, and so.
And you can always look back and see God always makes the right decision, as you said.
Always, yeah.
And you can connect the dots looking back. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, you see, we have to look back because we're bound by time. But he's not. So he can always see, you know, if we do this, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
He'll say, I don't want you to do that. You know? So he put a block in your way so you can't really do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there are all kind of things we can do to help bring our will in conformity to God's will. Prayer, you know, just pray for that.
Oh, yeah.
Help me to do your will. Help me to accept your will, whatever it is. And he's going to send you crosses, like Jesus says every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, take up your cross daily and
we
follow me.
We were talking about that. It's like, you know, you don't really want to trade crosses with anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's looks worse, even though ours.
Yeah, the cross he sends you is the perfect one for you.
Yeah.
And he sends the grace to deal with it. And a lot of people didn't understand that. And years and years and years ago, they would try to choose their own cross. Mm-hmm. Through their own sacrifice, and so they would do flagellation and all this kind of stuff like this, you know. Don't do that stuff. If God wants you to have a cross, he's going to send it to you.
Oh, yes.
And send you the grace to deal with it, you know.
Mortification.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then 2191, Teresa knows that at this early stage in development, the soul may fall. You know, we're still dealing with the occasions of sin. She says not to be discouraged and stop trying to advance. Even from this fall, God will draw out good. Think of Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times and who was made head of the entire church. She does not want us to be ill at ease as we advance. And that's an interesting statement. You know, she doesn't want us to be ill at ease. She wants us to be comfortable in approaching God because God loves us with an infinite love. We should never be afraid to approach God. Because of his infinite love for us as individuals.
I look forward to being with God.
Yeah. And so, you know, we try to advance recognizing that he does love us and wants us to come close to him. And so we, you know, never lose sight of it. A lot of people look at God as this big judge with a big hammer, right? It's going to pound you on the head every time you do something wrong.
He's our loving
and that's
Father.
The wrong view of God.
Yeah.
You know? And so... He, but like anything else, he does not want us to commit sin. Like he told the woman in adultery this morning in the gospel, go and sin no more. And so we fall, we go to confession, and we try to sin no more. But we always keep trying to advance. Okay, what did I learn from this? Can I get closer and less subject to fall as I continue on this journey. And that's what he wants us to do.
I think, how do we know we're improving or moving along in the right path, you know, going...
Or in the right room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not falling back.
And then it's says, not crying.
Well, you trust God and continue to pray.
Yeah.
Pray for his guidance. And
I like the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Like, ever since John died, I rely on him or her, so much. And you get inspirations or feelings, and you know he's the one that will mm-hmm. direct us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is your spiritual director.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we think of Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Teresa does not want us to be ill at ease as we advance. We need to be at peace and trust in Jesus. She says, can there be an evil greater than that of being ill at ease in our own house? So we're in our soul. We're traveling through our soul, trying to get to that center to meet Jesus. How can you be uncomfortable in your own soul? You know, you don't want to...
I think we can see people who are by what they're doing in their life and how destructive they're being.
Right, because they're hurting their soul. Mm-hmm. They're like injuring their own soul when they're committing sin.
Yeah, something's off kilter.
Yeah.
If you don't have peace. I mean, you can have peace even in trials. But if you don't have inward peace, something is not right.
Sure, yeah.
And you got to wonder how people got on that road. How did their soul get so unsettled that they, you know, like went into prostitution or, you know, or heavy drugs.
And they chose something that was...
But it had to be like many steps to get there.
Probably.
Yeah. Sure. Some people got there because they were trafficked as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and others just lose hope. Mm-hmm.
I always wonder, do we carry the sins of our fathers with us?
No.
No. We just have original sin.
You're an individual. It doesn't matter what your father did. God's going to treat you as an individual.
Like generations.
They talk about that sometimes in exorcism.
Yeah. I can't think of a God who loves you infinitely who would blame you for something one of your ancestors did.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Mm. Love doesn't track with that.
Yeah, that's what I always felt too. I always wondered why they talk about that so much. Or they talk about children whose parents tried to abort them, that they have this inner, you know, angst from that.
Yeah, I could imagine you would.
Well, they have hurt. Doesn't go away, I guess.
So she says, going to be a greater evil than being ill at ease in your own house. What hope can we have of finding a rest outside of ourselves if we cannot be at rest within? Mm-hmm. So it's, in other words, it's that peace you were talking about, you know, the inner tranquility, regardless of what's going on outside.
Actually, that question about sins of your ancestors, that's really interesting, because in essence, we did inherit the consequences of our ancestors through Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We didn't come out pure any longer. They messed up, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing I think about a lot, I really dwell on the whole thought of the mystical body. And when anybody sins, it hurts the entire mystical body. We're all connected. It's like a small infection on the foot, and you're the arm, but you're still connected. You're all part of God's body. So in essence, we are affected by our own sin and other people's sin. And that's maybe why we're supposed to take it so seriously and try to help other people not sin.
Good points.
Correcting them if it's necessary.
Yeah. Take them to the church if you have to help them resolve their issues too.
Every time we pray, it's like taking white blood cells and putting them into the mystical body to go fight the infection that just happened. You know,
I mean, I asked someone before about the first Saturdays, you know, I forgot how many we're supposed to do.
Five.
You just keep doing it. And they say, well, you're doing it for others that aren't doing it, you know.
Sure.
And all the calamities in the world is a result of sin.
Yeah.
Things that, I mean, man-made, but
sure.
It's sin. that causes all this.
I've said before, I have a hard time asking for specific things through intercessory prayer, but I typically will say or think, God grant, you know, whatever grace and mercy from this Mass to whoever needs it most today, because I don't know who needs it most. He does.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's when you consecrate to Mary and you give her your good deeds. It's going for someone.
Sure.
Right.
Mm. That's why in your morning offering, you say, offer you the merits of every joy, sorrow, you know, that I do this day, and please give me every indulgence I'm entitled to. Then I offer those merits and indulgences back to you for you to give to whoever needs them, you know.
Yeah. I watched that YouTube thing you sent about the woman that had like a mini judgment. I think her name was like Noelle. She's an actress and she had an aneurysm, and then Jesus called her.
I didn't read about that.
It was a YouTube thing. It was one of the he sent it. I don't know. I was cleaning my phone up and I saw it. Anyway, she said, like, and then they interviewed her. She made a film on it, and they interviewed her on EWTN that one married couple. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Joe and Jill. I don't know. So, anyways, and the thing that really was really encouraging that she said is that all the prayers that her grandmother did and has since died is what brought all this stuff to her. So she says when you pray for your children that are away from the church, that it's out there and it's continuously going. I can't remember her words. And of course all we need is our child to just open a little crack and that'll be enough for God to get in. Yeah. But it's our prayers that are, even if we're doing them now,
constant prayer.
And it's 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
And she said that was part of the stuff from all that happened to her.
It worked for St. Monica, right?
Yeah.
With Augustine.
Yeah. Like
30
the
years.
Cloistered nuns, they spend their lives praying for the world.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you think of it.
It was just encouraging because this is someone that's saying that, you know, she had it.
Yeah.
In our generation.
And it's good to do that because every time we get somebody to convert and leave a life of mortal sin, we're actually helping build the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah.
Because the kingdom of God is not just a place. It's all the subjects of that kingdom. Mm. It's all the people. And so the more people we can bring to God, the bigger the kingdom of God is going to be. And that's what he wants, the biggest kingdom he can have. Because that means all those people are saved. Mm-hmm. And so we want to help build the kingdom of God. She says, if we don't obtain and have peace in our own house, we'll not find it outside. Let this war be ended. So she uses the term war a couple of times here. And she's talking about spiritual warfare.
Right.
The battle that goes on inside. I ask those who have not begun to enter within themselves to do so. And those who have begun not to let the war make them turn back. Let these latter reflect that a relapse is worse than a fall. They already see their loss. So you know, she doesn't want you to have a relapse. She wants you to keep persevering. Perseverance is the big theme of the second dwelling place.
Right.
You know, to keep, don't give up, keep going, persevere through it. She speaks of war, and Father Lorenzo Scopoli wrote a book called Spiritual Warfare. And the whole point of his book is that the war is happening within us. It's not a war of one nation against another. You know, it's happening within us. And then another priest took his book, and he called it Spiritual Warfare Revisited, and he just kind of brought it into a modern context.
Well, I think a lot of people had an interior war of like, well, if I give God my life, I'm not going to give the life I want.
It doesn't matter.
I know, but I mean, that's
that's true.
That's the thinking.
That's true. There is that thought. And I think when you see people think that way and you hear that, even if you think about it yourself, you have to go back to what Teresa said in our session last time about every single thing on this earth is temporary. Mm-hmm. Everything. the only thing permanent for you on this earth is your soul.
Oh, definitely.
And so that's the one thing you have to protect, because nothing else is going to matter. Because Jesus told us, you know, heaven and earth are going to be recreated. Right. That means everything's going to be done with and new. And we don't know what that new creation is going to look like.
New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem, right? Like in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And so the thing we have to always protect is our soul. Because that is going to survive.
Right.
When the heaven and earth are recreated, our soul is going to survive and be in a new condition, a new place.
And we won't have any of these possessions that we're worried about or think about.
Think when we think, man, I waste all that time worrying about the house.
Yeah.
Or whether I should get the windows redone, you know.
Yeah. You know, you should be...
You're wasting it.
It's a waste of time to keep worrying, putting all your energy into something that's going to go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do think, like, when I was younger, you get that pulling apart or the tug of war in your soul, that you're at mass and you're like, yes, yes, yes. Then you go home, and then halfway through the day, you're already sucked into the world. And,
yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
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 And I do think it's where you live and who you're around, because I think it was really harder when we lived in California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So we have responsibilities that we have to deal with, but you focus on the essentials, you know. And then you keep going. Keep going. And don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
It's all in God's hands anyway. Right. Yeah. So the question is, what weapons can we use if we do fall? What weapons can we use in this war to keep from falling again?
Confession.
Confession, that's the big one, right?
Right.
Repentance. Well, two things. Repentance and confession. Confession isn't magic. We have to have repentance.
Yeah.
And then a resolve as part of the act of contrition, right? Yeah. The resolve to try to avoid that sin again, and so we don't fall into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that opportunity that's on us. The resolution and then the repentance, that's kind of on us. The confession is on God. When he sees our soul in the right condition, then he'll give us absolution through the priest. So 2:1:10:1. Teresa says, we cannot recollect ourselves by force, but only by gentleness, if our recollection is going to be continual. She says, it is very important to consult persons with experience, for you will be thinking that you are seriously failing to do some necessary thing, even if you're not. But provided we do not give up, the Lord will guide us, will guide everything for our benefit, even though we may not find someone to teach us. There is no other remedy for this evil of giving up prayer than to begin again. Otherwise, the soul will gradually lose more each day.
What does that mean, seriously failing to do some necessary thing? What would be an example of that?
Some people think... Some people say, well, I'm gonna say the rosary every single day. Okay, so they take on that responsibility. And then they miss it one day. And they think they've failed.
Okay.
In something that was necessary that they placed on themselves.
Okay.
Oh,
okay, I have that all the time. Okay.
Yeah, so we do that all the time, right? So we don't beat ourselves up over that.
When I miss the rosary
So you don't beat yourself up over that. If you look at the, I don't know if you've seen them, the 12 years prayers of St. Bridget that the Blessed Mother gave her.
Yeah.
Okay. It says right on there, if you miss a day, just make up for it as soon as you can.
Right.
Don't beat yourself up over it because you miss one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm not drinking alcohol for Lent, and I'm the one that, you know, we do that with the Legion, so I said, okay, I'll do it this year. I don't do it every year. And you're supposed to say that prayer every day?
Yeah.
I think I went a whole week, totally forgot about it. I'm like,
God knows where you are.
I haven't drank any liquor, but I'm like, you're supposed to say it twice a day. And I'm like, I used to be really good. I'd have it on a book, and I'd do it every morning. This year, it just went out the window, all the stuff that's been going on.
Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, and it gets worse the older you get.
I was going to say.
You know,
it gets worse, because I'm a Carmelite, and you do the liturgy. And I Sunday was, you know, mass, blah, 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 this, that. Then I was looking, and there was a flyer on my, I came home from mass, sat around, got into old clothes, and then I looked, and there was a flyer saying, the 12 o'clock mass is the Legion of Mary mass, you know, that. I had to get back into my regular clothes again.
Oh, pulled
out
the
shirt. I came home like, I thought, God, I'm wiped out. I just had to sit, I'm wiped out, because I hadn't really eaten anything. I was crazy. So I go through the day, and I'm taking it easy. And then I go to say the Carmelite night prayers. And I said, oh, I never said the morning prayers. It's like, you know, I have a lax conscience. I said, sorry, Lord, you know.
Well, you know, we had mentioned it at a meeting. Oh, you should do your 33 days morning glory again, or, you know, prepare for, yes, Saturday. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I don't know.
It's awful.
Thought of it too, you know, like a week. I'm like, too late now. I missed the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to do when you have something that's not a normal thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, one of the advantages of having a prayer routine, especially first thing in the morning when you get up, is that it just becomes a habit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then other things like what you're talking about, these are add-on things, and they're not part of your habit, so you tend to forget them or not do them. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
You know, do the best you can. But your habitual prayers, you want to build that habit up and do that every day, so that you start the day off with God, and then try to do some little ejaculation prayer throughout the day. You know,
some little thing
just to bring God back to your mind.
As I'm walking, dear Lord, don't let me fall. Don't let me fall.
Yeah.
Like physically fall.
Yeah. I mean, there are all kind of things you can do. You know, I've gotten into the habit of saying the Divine Mercy. Prayer, the Eternal Father prayer. But just that one little prayer.
Oh, the one.
I'll say that throughout the day, you know. And if I think of somebody that needs prayer, I'll say the
divine
blood and water which goes forth. You know, I say that because that is a conversion prayer. And so if I think of somebody who needs conversion, your kids or your, you know, relatives or whatever, I will oftentimes just pop that up. You know, it doesn't take long to say it. But you got God in your mind, and you're trying to bring Him to those people, or bring those people to Him. So,
you know what I found too, like on my kitchen, like if you have things around the house, they're good reminders. Because like on my kitchen window, you know, like little things, little crucifix, little statue of Saint Therese. Someone gave me a little angel, and I have a prayer card, Jesus in me, around me, the prayer of Saint Patrick. Mm-hmm. And then in another room where my little piano was in my table, my daughter painted an oil painting of St. Therese. And I used to, now I look at it, it's like an icon. Mm-hmm. And I stand there and look at it. So it's like things around that remind us. So we need reminders.
Which is good. Sure, you need reminders, yeah.
Yeah.
So all those kind of things are good to kind of keep bringing God back to your mind, you know? So you have this recollection, and by the way, I contacted ICS, and I asked him about those brochures on the prayer of recollection, and he said the friars are working on a revision, and that it should be available right after Easter.
Cool. Oh.
So when it comes available, I'll get a pack for us. It's like a pack of 25 of them for just $4, you know. So I'll get a pack and give them to you guys.
Could you get an extra pack or two for me, and I'll give you the money?
Oh, sure.
If you get two packs.
Okay.
Because I need them for the Carmelites.
Okay, I'll get
it. And I only have one pack left, but we seem to be getting a lot of people now.
Okay.
That would be a blessing.
I'll do that. I'll give you a blessing.
Oh, good.
I won't forget.
We
hope you so much.
I won't forget.
I'll pay you.
but the point here, it says, don't give up. She said, don't give up. He says, it's very important to consult persons with experience because you want them to encourage you. And, you know, you can have questions and stuff like this. But you'll be thinking that you are seriously failing to do something necessary thing, and don't worry about that. But provided we do not give up, the Lord will guide everything for our benefit. He knows you're trying to reach Him. He knows you're trying to get closer to Him. He's going to help you. He's not going to leave you dangling there and say, you missed. You know,
I hope
he doesn't, he doesn't do those kind of things.
No.
You know, He loves you too much. He said, there is no other remedy for this evil of giving up prayer than to begin again. Otherwise, the soul will gradually lose more each day. And, you know, she made the point earlier about the idea of relapsing being worse than anything else.
Yeah.
Because when you relapse, if you don't start again and keep going, you just get further and further back. You know, you just lose it. There's no such thing as marching in place in prayer. You're either advancing or you're regressing. So you want to keep on the prayer.
Moving forward.
I've also heard like your angel and the saints can help perfect your prayers. Because I'm really bad about not having a rosary on me, and I use my fingers when I'm walking. And I know I get distracted and I'm like, what decade am I on? And did I say 5 or 10? And so at the end, I always just say, and please, you know, let the angels and saints perfect my prayer.
Yes.
You know? Because otherwise you stress about whether you did it right, whether you did enough, whether you're not.
Yeah, I can't say the rosary in my fingers because I lose track of where I am, you know. So I have a rosary in my pocket, I've got a rosary in my vest, I've got a rosary on the other side of my vest. If I need a rosary, I've got one, you know.
You got one to go get it.
Yeah, and I got like 7 of them in my car, you know, in case I'm with somebody else that needs one, you know. So, but I need them. I can't do it without it, you know, because I'll lose track of where I am or how many I've said, you know. Did I say 9 here, or is it 10, you know?
Mother Teresa would always do an extra.
Yeah.
Like she did that one that the 3 Hail Marys that you do when you have an emergency and you do it. And then she said, and an extra one to thank Our Lady for fixing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something to think about too. Never forget as you do your prayers the Saturday day to thank God for what He's done for you in your life.
Definitely.
And what He's done yesterday. You know, thank you for everything you've ever done for me in my life, you know, and please continue to help me. So 2111, Teresa suggests that someone could think that if turning back is so bad, maybe it's better to never enter the castle. Her answer is that anyone who walks in danger, you know, means they're flirt with danger or wallows in danger, perishes in it. And the door to enter the castle and begin to escape the danger is prayer. She then says it is foolish to think we can ever hope to enter heaven without entering into ourselves, coming to know ourselves, reflecting on our misery and what we owe God. And when she talks about misery, she's talking about how little we are, how miserable we are compared to God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, how little.
Yeah. I mean, how insignificant we are compared to God.
Ants.
I mean, there's a bigger difference between us and God than there is between us and an ant. You know? So she then says it is foolish to think we can ever hope to enter heaven and what we owe God. Self-knowledge and humility come into play once again here. And begging Him often for mercy. And Jesus told Faustina that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. So we should always ask Him for that. I mean, why would it be the greatest attribute if we're not going to ask for it, right? Makes no sense. She also reminds us of what Jesus said in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. So some people think they don't need Him to get to heaven, and that's foolish. She also reminds us, Jesus also said at John 14:9, whoever sees me sees the Father. She then makes the argument that if we never look at Him or reflect on what we owe Him and reflect on what He did for us to the point of crucifixion for us, how will we know Him? How will we know Him or do works in His service? Then as the letter of James says, she asks what value faith can have without works and without joining them to the merits of Jesus? Or who will awaken us to the love of this Lord? She says we need to pray for this understanding so that we aren't always entering into temptation. In other words, she's telling us to put our mind on God, to always keep thinking about how dependent we are on Him, how merciful He is, how we need His mercy and forgiveness, and to reflect on Him. And she says in here, too, that it's good to have an image of God, a picture of God, always, you know, in front of you. And so if you have, like, a phone or a tablet or something, make sure there's some pictures of God on there so that you can call Him up when you need to. And as you're praying, just look at Him. Because you'll have pictures of Him doing different things. I've got pictures on mine about, there's one of Him standing on the shore calling the fishermen. I've got one of Him all in His passion standing with a priest offering up to the altar, up to the Father, you know. So there are a lot of different images we can get of God, but have them available to you so that depending on which kind of mood you're in on your prayer, you can call up one that kind of goes along with where he's asking you to be right now. So if Teresa's calling us to persist and the devil is tempting us to give up, what can we do to persevere in prayer and refuse the temptations of the devil? I think you've already talked about a lot of that.
Ask God for his grace to persevere in prayer.
To persevere in prayer, right. That's right. Perseverance is something we have to do, but we do it with the grace of God. And so we ask God continually for the grace to persevere in prayer.
My favorite prayer is I get up in the day and say, thank you, God, for this day and help me to get through the day.
Yeah. I'm just looking to see if Father Kavanaugh had any particular notes that I wanted to bring out to you.
Carvizo. Is that how you say the same? Carvizo?
Were you looking at chapter, the third dwelling place?
Yeah, no, I'm looking on page 50. Just his notes on the second one.
Okay.
He says that, faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift God pours into the soul, by which we know and give assent to all that God reveals to us about himself and about the means by which we can reach him. It follows the stages of human growth, and through trials that test and perfect it, it brings us toward an ever-deepening likeness to Christ. So that the idea of what faith actually does for us. Faith is a lot more than just, I believe in God. You know, it's what that faith does interiorly for us. And then he says, the intellect is a power by which we come to know truths by drawing them out from other truths we already know. The will is the power to make choices and rest in the choices that we make. The supreme principle in which all human beings should make their choices is the will of God. The divine will is a personal project of love for all men and women, which aims to bring them to their full and final happiness. The will of God can at times call us to painful sacrifice. Teresa then introduces us in these second dwelling places to her special version of Christian asceticism before speaking of mysticism. She'll start speaking of mysticism later. Asceticism is the severe self-discipline which a lot of the saints would practice, avoiding self-indulgence, fasting, and all those kinds of things. So those are some notes. He also has a note here about sin. That's pretty good. He says, sin is not a matter of a battle overcome definitively through pardon and a return to the castle. Sin is contamination, which is kind of what Mary Beth was saying earlier, that when we commit a sin, it contaminates the mystical body and it needs to be cleansed. It has the sinister capacity of unleashing inordinate forces difficult to drive out of the dwelling place in the castle. Human beings are at once both light and darkness, beauty and dignity in their being, the beauty of the castle, the darkness and misery in their life story, life within the castle. He says, perhaps we can simply explain Teresa's symbols with words of Jesus and St. Paul. Evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. That comes from Mark 7:21-22. So all these things, and also Romans 1:29-31, all those things are things that come from within us that we have to put aside. You know, all these things, evil thoughts and theft, murder, all those things, that's something that comes from us. That's not something that comes from God, obviously. And so we have to put all that kind of stuff aside. And
we got to shape up.
Got to shape up. That's right.
Time is running out.
Yeah. So basically, it's putting ourselves more and more and more in the hands of God and asking him to guide us and then trusting in him, trusting in his love, trusting in his knowledge of us, because he knows us better than we know ourselves, and trusting in the fact that he knows better for us than anything we would ever figure out. He knows what's best for us all the time.
Yeah, and the way this world's going, we really, everybody needs to turn more to God.
And the thing, never forget that he is never going to do anything with you or to you that is bad for your spiritual growth. Mm. Never. No. So whatever he sends to you, don't ever think it's bad. Mm. You know, whatever he sends to you is for your good. Even if it's a cross that you have to bear, either for a long time or a short time.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else before we cook for the day? Okay. See you next week. Oh.
Next week, Holy Week.
Is it?
On the Monday after Easter, we usually take off because people have visitors and everything like that. So do you want to meet the Monday before Easter?
I won't be able to be here.
You won't be here? Okay. I'm not going
anywhere. That's the month. That Palm Sunday is next Sunday, right?
So next Sunday.
This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday.
Yeah. So it'll be the Monday.
This is the Monday of the Palm Sunday. Are you going to be out of town or something?
No, we have company.
You have company, okay.
How many on the Zoom are going to be available?
What do you guys want, Bob, Diane?
We're going to be going up to Pennsylvania, but we could always pick it up on the podcast.
Okay.
Everybody else wants to meet.
Well, I think we've got other people that have problems too. So the Monday before Easter and the Monday after Easter, we're going to take our vacation.
The next two Mondays.
Right. Not this coming Monday, right?
Well, this coming Monday is the one before Easter, isn't it?
Sunday's Palm Sunday and Holy Week then.
This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, the day after Palm Sunday,
we'll meet,
and then the day after Easter, we won't meet.
Okay, the next two Mondays.
The next 2 Mondays, we won't meet.
Okay. Right.
Right.
So we'll pick it up in after that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. See you then.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You guys have a great couple of weeks and have a wonderful Easter.
Yes.
Get holy. Become very holy. So when you come back, I want to see halos on top of your
head. Halos shining. Oh, yeah.
It's so much chocolate.
Oh, I've already.